been trying to locate it since Friday. Labour's leader says the fighting in Gaza needs to stop now, not just for a pause, but permanently. Speaking at the Scottish Labour Party conference in Glasgow, Keir Starmer also called for all hostages taken by Hamas on October the 7th to be released. He says any ceasefire between Israel and Hamas needs to be agreed by both sides.
The two-state solution must be back on the table. A safe and secure Israel, where the horror that Hamas inflicted on October the 7th, the largest loss of Jewish life since the Holocaust, could never happen again.
But Israel's president says he'll reject attempts from the international community to impose a Palestinian state. A man's due to appear in court tomorrow in connection with the discovery of a number of migrants in the back of a lorry in New Haven. Anas Al-Mustafa from Swansea was charged with assisting unlawful entry to the UK following the major response at the East Sussex port on Friday. Andrew Scott says he'll be supporting his All of Us Strangers co-star at the BAFTAs tonight. The Irish actor's not been nominated for an award, but he'll be presenting one instead with Paul Mescal, who's up for Best Supporting Actor. He was asked how supportive he was to his co-star on the set of the movie.
Couldn't have been more supportive. And we're presenting this evening, so we'll be supporting each other backstage too. Claire, our Best British Film. Andrew, our director, absolutely thrilled. Couldn't be more thrilled.
The ceremony takes place this evening at the Royal Festival Hall. In sport, Brighton have thumped bottom side Sheffield United 5-0 away in the Premier League. Manchester United go to Luton later this hour. Rangers are the new Scottish Premiership leaders after beating St Johnstone 3-0. In cricket, England were thrashed by 434 runs in the third test against India. That's the latest. I'm Daisy Steele.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
This evening, a fine and dry evening expected for most, perhaps with one or two showers lingering across western parts. Sufficient cloud cover should ensure a mild night for most. Minimum temperature will be 7 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, a band of patchy rain moves south-eastwards through the morning, but otherwise an fine and mostly dry day expected with plenty of sunny spells. It will be mild, with the maximum temperature being 13 degrees Celsius, and that is your weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Today is the cast of a new contemporary take on Henry V coming to Brentwood Theatre in March. Bettina, Elle and Catherine from 149 Productions are with us to tell us more about the gender swapping roles and how Henry V is reimagined for a mostly female cast.
And we'll be testing our Shakespearean knowledge with a quiz that Natalie has created, so play along with us later. We'll also have a bit of national news for the week, some super local events that you shouldn't miss out and much, much more. And today our playlist is influenced by the Kings and Queens of Pop with some other Shakespearean influences popped in along there throughout the afternoon, so see if you can spot them. we might tell you what they are. We might not. Play along with us. So let's get on with the show. I'm Claire.
And I'm Natalie, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
My days are so busy, it's making me dizzy. There's so much I've got to do. There's lunches and meetings and poetry readings and endless interviews. Got a pose for a portrait and how it's a portion there for eternity. Then it's off to the inn where my innkeeper friend wants to name a drink after me. Then it's back to my room where I resume my attempt to write a hit. Just me and my beer and the terrible fear that I might be losing it. And it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's really, really hard.
So very, very hard.
I make it look easy, but honey, believe me, it's hard.
It's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's so incredibly hard.
So inconceivably, unbelievably hard.
It's hard to be the bard. Honestly, I don't know how I do it. There's only so much of me to go around. I got so many fans with so many demands. I can hardly go take a
break.
Be a theatre freak or the autograph seeker. I don't want a piece of this.
Gimme.
It's a cross that I bear. I'm like Jesus, I swear. It's a burden, but I suffer through it.
Suffering.
It's all part of the game, the trappings of fame. Somebody's got to do it.
So he does it.
And I know, I gotta go and get back to my pen and ink. Oh, don't make me do it, don't make me go through it. Can somebody get me a drink? Cause
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's really,
it's really hard.
It's sexy, but it's hard.
This bar that I'm raising to be this amazing.
It's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's hard,
it's so annoyingly hard.
So unavoidably, unenjoyably hard. It's hard to be the bard, baby. I know writing made me famous, but being famous is just so much more fun. You see, what people just don't understand is that writing's demanding, it's mentally challenging, and it's a bore. It's such a chore to sit in a room by yourself. Oh my God, I just hate it. And you're trying to find an opening line or a brilliant idea, and you're pacing the floor and hoping for, you know, just a bit of divine intervention. That one little nugget, that one little spark, then eureka, you find it, you're ready to start. So now you can write, right? Wrong, you're not even close. You remember the damage. Your place gotta be an iambic pentameter. So you write down a word, but it's not the right word. So you try a new word, but you hate the new word. And you need a good word, but you can't find the word. Oh, where is it? What is it? What is it? Where is it?
It's hard.
No, it is, isn't it? It's really the worst.
It's hard.
Makes me wonder why I didn't think of that first.
It's hard.
To alleviate the pressure to create.
It's hard.
To do something as good as the last thing I did that was already great.
It's hard, it's hard. So hard that he is stealing from the bar.
Well, I'll hoist and lie the tar. All that I need is a clever disguise.
Clever disguise.
Make him pay for his devious lies.
Lies.
Make him do all the tedious stuff. The work that's terribly and the merrily hard. Cause it's hard.
It's hard, it's totally hard.
It's hard,
it's hard, it's totally hard.
It's hard.
In
fame, everyone knows my name. I can't help it. It's still frickin' hard.
And that was Hard to Be the Bard, performed by Christian Borrell from Something Rotten original cast recording. Set in the 1590s, brothers Nick and Nigel Bottom are desperate to write a hit play but are stuck in the shadow of William Shakespeare. When a local soothsayer shows them the future of theatre, Nick and Nigel set out to write the world's very first musical. However, they set out to do so by stealing the concept of Shakespeare's most famous play that he is yet to write, Hamlet, or as they mistakenly call it, Omelette.
Nice. I like that. That was a fun way of starting the show. And of course, and very
the
well
Shakespeare theme.
Very well themed. Thank you very much, Charlotte.
Charlotte also did the very hard task of removing the swears from the song as well before we played it.
Oh,
so congratulations to Charlotte for her editing skills.
Well done, yes. apologies if there
so wasn't. Don't have any shocks if you go and listen to that at home.
So is that one that she's seen? Does she know that one?
I'm not too sure, actually.
She hasn't said it. She hasn't given her own personal
I know that Something Rotten is a playlist that is on our shared Apple music, so she's definitely listened to the whole recording of it a number of times, but whether or not she's seen it, I have no idea.
Nice. Well, thank you very much for pairing that with our Shakespearean theme today. We've got some guests we're looking forward to seeing in the studio. I think the studio might be quite full later.
Yes, I think we will have lots of fun with all of the Shakespeareans.
But let's just talk about our week.
So should we talk about One Day?
Well, I don't know, because we just talked about One Day off air, and we can talk about it to a degree, but then I keep crying.
We can't talk about specific moments
no.
in the plot, but it's probably best not to do that, because you should definitely watch it.
Should you definitely because so Natalie and I have both watched One Day this weekend separately.
Yep, not together, cozied up on a sofa.
I think that would have been better, actually. I don't think
but
I would
we
have...
we could have just pretended that we
I don't
had.
Think I would have cried with such despair had I watched it with someone else. So this is obviously the book that has now been remade into a series on Netflix, and it was a film already. So One Day from David... Is it David Nichols, isn't it?
Yeah.
The original author of the book, who made it into film, and it was... It's a good 10 or 15 years ago that the film was made, wasn't it?
I've not seen the film,
actually.
Have you
not seen the film?
So, yeah, I was completely in the dark watching this.
So there's lots of hype going on about why remake One Day, does it need it, and all the rest of it. So this is now a series in 10, 11 parts?
I think it's 13.
Is it 13?
Yeah.
Because
I thought it was...
quite short.
I thought it was 10, and then the last three...
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything there.
So it's a very, it's quite a famous coming of age novel-y kind of thing. It's a bit like, what's that other one that was set in Northern Ireland that was on a couple of years ago? It was written by someone else, and it was a similar thing. It's about kind of two people meeting at university, and in One Day, it's the kind of last day that they meet. It's the final ball of the 3-4 years. They've seen each other, or she's seen him in the corridor kind of thing, never spoken to each other, and they kind of meet on this final ball. And then there's another one that's quite similar. It was all set in Northern Ireland that was on TV a couple of years ago, based on a book as well, which I've read. I'll come back to the names in a minute, but that had a sort of similar kind of theme to it, of meeting at university, and then it's the kind of this idea of, you know,
the
best friends
every year after that.
Yeah, and One Day has this celebration on Swithin's Day that they always come back together for this anniversary of the first time they met. And it's that whole kind of, you know, 30...
And the idea is on St. Swithin's Day, and he repeats this throughout the whole series, that if it rains on St. Swithin's Day, you'll have a bad year.
You have a bad summer. It's going to rain
all
through
summer. Yeah.
That's the theory of... And that is a thing. That's, a thing that exists. It's not just in the book. But the kind of premise of the book is... these two people who have this moment, they're like poles apart. You wouldn't expect them to get together. And it's this kind of friendship that blossoms and emerges. And it's life. It's about tracking how friendship,
how it evolves and changes.
Yeah.
And what I found really inspiring about this journey is kind of the peaks and troughs of their careers as well. Because you kind of... see one as more successful at every point that they meet, and then that changes based on kind of their life circumstances as well. So it's a really interesting way to kind of consider how you measure success and happiness in life as you go through, because this was set over 10 years, wasn't it? So it's kind of the snapshot of them leaving university and going into a career and starting their lives together and apart.
And you kind of get this sense that, you know, their lives are doing really different things. Their backgrounds are from really different places. They're kind of socially, politically, economically different as two people can possibly be. But they kind of bumble along in this journey together through life. But there is this kind of massive sense of the unrequited or the undiscussed.
It's kind of more undiscussed.
It's undiscussed, isn't it? It's kind of like they just play around with each other around love and feelings and, you know, what they are to each other. And that kind of, that sort of, you know, lots of things happen in those 10 episodes before the last three. And it does kind of, you know, you are on this constant journey of, but are they going to? Are they going to? Are they going to? Are they?
And the longing to be together, but not necessarily just in a relationship sense, just the longing that they could be together as friends in certain situations and stuff. It's very sweet all the way through.
Yes.
But there is some despair, which
so the other one I was thinking of is Normal People.
I was just about to say, Spencer's just sent me a text saying Normal People,
and I thought
that he was basically just insulting me until I realized
it's the book, I read the book and I enjoyed it a lot, and I enjoyed the series as well. I mean, there are some differences, but that's kind of, it's a very similar thing. But obviously David Nichols wrote this quite a lot before, so it starts in the 1980s, isn't it? It's kind of set in there. But there is something that this Normal People, One Day, and there's a few others like it that are kind of they're going on this journey of despair, to be honest. Like, the thing that we were talking about that we both shared was a kind of a general...
After watching it.
Yeah.
And the episodes are quite short as well. They're kind of postcard episodes. So each episode is 20 minutes. Not very much happens, but you get a lot out of each of those moments.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you are just left at the end with kind of an emptiness.
Yes. So what are we saying? We're saying watch it because, you know, if you haven't watched the film or if you haven't
It's very impactful.
The book,
If you don't like the feeling of despair, don't watch it. If you would like to experience a feeling from watching a TV series that is really impactful, then watch it.
Mm. Yeah.
If you want to watch a nice drama, stop watching around episode 9.
There is a bit of a thing, I think. There is something about genres at the moment that are picking up on this kind of thing of despair. Writers and people who are directors and producers are kind of thinking, and so you kind of, you know, you look at that and you think, well, what's that about? What's that saying about society at the moment? Are we all in this pit of despair?
I kind of
is
see
it more difficult
to
make
like
relationships?
There's like a transparency with love stories. Mm-hmm. I think this is the transparent nature. You love something so much. What do you do when you're not with it?
Yeah. Yes. And there is a big
message. It's very truthful. I mean, it's very honest in all of its depictions all the way through.
There's also quite a big message of celebrating what you've got when you've got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this kind of idea of just not taking for granted what you have right there, right now, in that moment.
Another thing that I really loved about this series in terms of the cinematography is that it really responds to the senses that you have when you like a person. So there's lots of reference to him smoking quite a lot, but then there's some kind of romantic scenes around kind of the smell of the smoking and like the regularity of that being part of who he is and how he is. And I think it's kind of those senses are demonstrated very well throughout.
Yeah, there's lots of kind of reference, isn't there, when she's getting close to him and she says, oh god, I smell of, you know, cooking fat or something, because she works in a restaurant, and that kind of idea of smelling people's hair
she didn't want to be near him while she smelt like that.
Yeah, there's lots of those things. Well, look, you know, watch it with someone else. Watching it on your own, maybe not. But it's worth a watch. It's also worth a read, because I think the book's really quite good as well. And apart from that despair, I went to see The Signalman at Chelmsford Theatre, which didn't leave me with a load of despair.
Which is good.
It left me with a kind of sense of, oh, Dickens and ghost stories. It's not something I hadn't read it and I hadn't watched it before, so I was kind of interested to go and see something from Dickens that was new to me, which was it's always a nice experience. It was presented by the Rumpus Theatre Company, which is a touring theatre company, and it's going back on tour now. And the premise is that there is a traveller who meets a railway signalman while he is at work one day, and the signalman and the traveller talk inside the man's little signal cabin, but it's clear that the signalman is really distracted and on edge, and the traveller asks if he can return the next day. He returns, and the signalman tells him about this ghost story, this ghostly apparition that he's seen at the entrance of the tunnel. And both times that apparition has arrived, an awful accident has happened on the railway track. And there's kind of lots of, you know, the traveller is trying to present lots of rational explanations and those sorts of things. But anyway, I'm not going to tell you any more, just in case you want to read it or you see it. But interestingly, Dickens had a real experience of, this is a time in the 1860s, 1850s, when rail transport, of course, is now taking over the country, and all these new railway lines are being set up. But that also means that there's lots of accidents and there's lots of kind of challenges that hadn't been there before.
Yeah.
And Dickens had a direct experience of the Staplehurst railway crash in 1865, which was the year before he wrote that story. And he was haunted by his memories of that accident for the rest of his life. And part of, obviously part of his experience was now written into that story. So if it's a, it is... really interesting, and you kind of immediately faced with this idea that something's really not right from the very beginning, from the way that they're acting with each other, from the way that the signalman is responding to the traveller. You just think, why is he behaving like that? What's going on?
Things are ajar.
Yeah, things are ajar right from the very beginning. There's some quite good lighting techniques to get that sense of the train coming through the tunnel and coming to the audience and stuff. And it had a really eerie feeling about it. So if you get to see the signal, it's worth going and seeing it. That's what my I think some people did it for GCSE, but you know, go and see it or read it again.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the story, actually. I didn't realize that's what the signalman was about.
Yeah, and I'm still ploughing my way through Lucy Worsley's Lady Killers just to keep me happy.
Of course, ghosts and killers and feelings of despair.
Yes, well, the ghosts and killers are much less physically draining than the feelings of despair from one day, to be honest,
based on lovely programs.
Yeah, but in Lucy Worsley's Serial Killers, I can't remember which one it was now because I don't write things down because I listen to them when I'm in the car, but there was a reference to Dickens actually attending a public hanging event and being absolutely mortified by the spectacle of this and appalled by it, and he became one of the objectors to public hanging, which was eventually stopped in 1868. So
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And then I went to the Hermit, which was lovely.
Yes.
On Friday night. So if you are a young person, age 13 to 19, and you want to come along and play some music and perform, there are practice rehearsal rooms. There is a great stage to perform on, and there's lots of really supportive people and very musical people there as well. So Gabby and Sam.
How much does it cost to go to the Hermit?
Free.
It's free.
It's entirely free. So come along.
Back
from
in
7
the day,
till
I used to pay £4 to get into the Hermit.
No, it's entirely
gone
free.
Gone of the day of £4.
We've got some amazing guitarists and drummers in there. We've just had a couple of saxophones joining us. Very exciting. Yeah, really exciting. Come along every Friday, 7 till 9. It's on next Friday in half term as well. Come and give it a try out.
Getting jazzy.
Oh yeah, all sorts of different kind of music, actually. That's been quite interesting.
That's fun, because it always used to be about rock, didn't it?
Yeah, so. No, it's real mix.
So this week, I haven't really done that much other than watch One Day and that breaking my soul. But obviously, we're preparing for the Romford Horror Festival. And since Spencer came on the show a couple of weeks ago, we do have some more things to announce. So I thought I would take the opportunity to tell you about that. So we have confirmed guests.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned Cynthia Monorale, who is the lead in the film The Beyond by Lucio Fulci. And there is this Italian theme that always runs through the Romford Horror Festivals, which is why we have our second Giallo-inspired T-shirt being released this year. And if you want to see more about that, the new designs are being dripped into social media currently.
Nice.
But we also have Ian McCulloch from...
Can we just say who designed it?
Which I designed.
There we go.
Yes. This is my part in the festival. I do all of the drawing stuff.
Forget to big yourself up.
Big myself up. I'm quite pleased with it, how it's turned out. What I really love is the fact that there is now a series of Giallo T-shirts and Giallo merchandise, and I'm quite excited to do the next one because they're all like book covers, and it's like I can tell a story without having to write one, which is great. So we also have Ian McCulloch, who's joining us from BBC's original series, The Survivors. Did you ever watch this?
Did I watch it? I don't know.
He was a lead character, but basically it's about a pandemic which strikes the earth and lots of people die. And I think 10% of people survive. And this is a journey of one man, who is Ian McCulloch, going and finding other people in the UK to go and live with.
Nice.
We also have Pauline Peart and Caroline Monroe and a lady called Marianne Morris, who are all Hammer horror girls. So you might know Pauline from Carry On Girls as well. She was in the Carry On films. Caroline Monroe was also from The Spy Who Loved Me. She was one of the love interests in that. And then Marianne Morris was from the film Vampires, which, interestingly, Spence told me this today, she was the first ever lesbian vampire in a film.
Okay, cool.
That started in the 80s.
In the 80s.
I would have thought that was a long time before that.
Mm.
But we also have a guy called Ross Sandbridge coming. He has played a multitude of characters, but he's probably best known for being the supreme leader Snoke from Star Wars. So you can come along, you can get all of your autographs from those guys, and they're also doing a couple of talks on the Saturday from about 3 p.m. You can book into those as well.
Nice.
Plus, on top of that, which we didn't mention last time, is Hannah Davis will be there.
Yay.
On Friday night, and she will be doing stylized portrait photography.
Ooh.
But horror portrait
of course,
photography.
Of
so
course.
If you love horror and you have a ticket to the film festival, you can go and get your picture taken for free in one of Hannah's amazing sets. Or if you're a filmmaker, you can go have a stylized portrait for maybe your LinkedIn or...
I mean, to be honest, it's worth going just for that.
Yeah.
No offence, Spencer.
No.
But, you know, Hannah does the most amazing things, amazing backdrops and the most amazing photographs.
And so. She's a brilliant photographer as
well. Yeah, she is. How fun. Cool. Okay.
There's a couple of events to mention. I'll mention them.
Should we mention those later on? Because let's get some music on, because I can see that our guests have arrived.
Yes.
So because we just talked about Dickens, even though we'll talk about Shakespeare later, here's the Divine Comedy with Our Mutual Friend.
No matter how I try, I just can't get her out of my mind. And when I sleep, I visualize her. I saw her in the pub. I met her later at the nightclub. A mutual friend introduced us. We talked about the noise and how it's hard to hear your own voice above the beat and the sub. Said it's like the soundtrack to our lives, and she said true, it's not unusual. Then privately we danced, but couldn't seem to keep our balance. A drunken haze had come upon us. We sang a song that I can't sing anymore. And then we kissed and fell
Phoenix FM.
Looking to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut and Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Leolino Billericay is an exquisite modern Lebanese restaurant featuring a beautifully expansive outdoor garden and a private dining room. A perfect setting to celebrate any occasion. We take pride in serving traditional dishes infused with a delightful modern twist, meticulously crafted using only the finest ingredients. To book a table or inquire about exclusive venue hire, call us on 01277 714 777 and join us to indulge in the epitome of modern Lebanese hospitality.
Want to get the home improvements you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank? Thanks to SEHBAC, you can now transform your home for less. We're offering up to 40% off our extensive range of high-quality windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Plus, 2 years interest-free finance available. Get the inspiration you need and breathe new life into your home at a price you can afford by visiting your nearest SEHBAC showroom or SEHBAC.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Phoenix FM.
Streets were full of cars, all bright and shiny like they'd just arrived from Mars. And as I stumbled through last night's drunken debris, the paper boy screamed out the headlines in the street. Another war and now the pound is looking weak. And tell me, have you read about the latest freak? Well, bingo numbers and our names are obsolete. Why do I feel bitter when I should be feeling sweet? Hello, hello, turn your radio on. Is there anybody out there? Help me sing my song. It's gone. Woke up this morning and my head was in a daze. Brave new world dawned upon the human race. But words are meaningless and everything's surreal. Gonna have to reach my friends to find out how I feel. And if I taste the honey, is it really sweet? And do I eat it with my hands or with my feet? Does anybody really listen when I speak? Or will I have to say it all again next week? Hello, hello, turn your radio on. Is there anybody out there? Help me sing my song. Hello. Just when you think you learn how to use it, it's gone.
So that was our first two tracks related to the ticking clock of Shakespeare's sister is carrying on. There we go.
I love that song. That's really very nice. I've not heard it for a long time.
Oh, I have to turn that off. That was horrible. So our playlist today is trying to lean into the bard. We're having a go at this. And the first one wasn't. It was because I was talking about Dickens. So that was Our Mutual Friend, which of course is a book by Dickens. And that was Divine Comedy. And then we've just had Shakespeare's sister, Hello. And that's only because it's Shakespeare's sister. That's as far as I was leaning in for that one. That's I wasn't fine. Doing very well. But anyway,
as the show goes on, there will be more.
There are more. Yeah, there are more. Anyway, we have now been joined in the studio by our guests. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
If you need to move the microphones closer to your faces, please do so we can hear you lovely and loud and clear. Thank you very much. Right, give us a shout out. Tell me who you are so we can hear your voice.
Hello, I'm Elle.
Hello, I'm Bettina.
And I'm Catherine.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Welcome to joining us. And you are coming to tell us all about your new production that's coming to the Brentwood Theatre. So let's dive into that first.
Yes, shall I kick off? So I am producing this show. It is Henry V.
That's right.
Yeah. Which one? So, yeah. Definitely Henry V by William Shakespeare. Our company is called 149 Productions, and we started our company last year with a production of Hamlet, mm-hmm. which was very well received, and it's Shakespeare with a modern twist. So we're trying to make it as accessible as possible for people, and we achieved that last year. People who hadn't seen Shakespeare before came along, absolutely loved it. Couldn't believe how quickly it went. It's a very long play. This year we're hoping to do the same with Henry V.
Lovely. So what is the modern twist? Can you tell us much about that?
So it's modern setting, modern music, including some nightclub music.
Clubbing scenes.
Clubbing, yeah, absolutely.
Are people going to be encouraged to get up out of their seats and dance?
No.
Not going that far.
So modern dress. And
a really kind of modern approach to the text as well. Like, we want to make it, as Catherine said, as accessible for people as possible. And we want people to, when they're listening and watching the play, we want them to be able to relate to, you know, the emotion behind what we're saying and relate to it in a modern context. I think makes it a lot easier for people to see the visuals and things and think, oh, that's like something that I went through. It's not just this piece of 600-year-old history. It's still a story that people can relate to today.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Including war themes, leadership. What does it mean to be a good leader? What do you have to sacrifice to do that? So the warfare isn't, you said earlier, didn't you? There's no chainmail. There's no swords. it's a lot more modern. And we've also got some very young actors in it. We wanted to reflect the fact that warfare is often, it's often very young people.
Yes, well, we've seen that very recently, haven't we?
Exactly. So that's another thing that is very relevant.
In terms of the story of Henry V, for people that don't know, i.e. me, what is this story known for, and why might people want to go and see that? Is there kind of recognisable themes that you would have heard of before?
Yeah, so the Battle of Agincourt is one of the big things, and storming of the beaches at Harfleur, and that, you know, really decisive battle that was either going to cement Henry as a national hero or a national disaster. And we're exploring that in the play as well, in terms of, is he really a hero? What does it mean to be a hero and to lead, you know, people into battle, and the moral questions of that. But yeah, the Battle of Agincourt is
Is this one of the plays as well that is kind of on the school curriculum? Is this something that young people...
Catherine would be the one to answer that.
Yes, I'm a teacher. No, it isn't, actually. It's not a GCSE text. Some people may do it for A-level, but what I would say as a teacher, someone who teaches teenagers about Shakespeare, is it's really relevant, it's really modern, And it will give young people that lead into Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I feel really sad when young people's first experience of Shakespeare is reading it, because it's not supposed to be read, it's supposed to be performed, they're plays. So so for me, and I have actually spoken to some local secondary schools about bringing young people, because we want them to see how exciting and frightening and emotional Shakespeare can be, and how it does, as Elle says, relate to modern, you know, our modern sensibilities and how we feel and how we experience life.
Absolutely.
So for me, it doesn't matter that it's not on the curriculum. Shakespeare obviously is on the curriculum, and I want young people to come along and see what Shakespeare can be like.
Now, one of the things that we know of Shakespeare plays is that a lot of the characters who are female in the plays are played by men generally. Is that another twist that you've got? Because I'm looking at three female actresses in front of me.
Bettina, do you want to talk
about
you?
Very much so. So the cast, we've got many female playing male, traditionally male role. We're not going in too much into some kind of, you know, we're not changing completely, putting moustache on, etc.
Which is a shame, because that might be quite fun.
And yeah, I think it's probably, in terms of numbers in of the female cast, we're probably above 50%. And it, you know, it's great to interpret those roles and think of the character, not, it doesn't really matter.
So those characters that you're playing, whereas they'd traditionally be men in the script, actually, in your play, they might be female? Or
yes,
they definitely
but we
are
haven't
if they're
changed
being played
names
by
or anything like that. We're just play. It's kind of gender blind, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
that's
one of
fun.
My characters is the Duke of Burgundy.
Ah.
Another one.
And why shouldn't you be a Duke?
Exactly. And the Bishop of Ely.
Oh, okay.
Your character is...
Well, I'm the French ambassador.
typecast.
Yes. A bit of typecasting there. But yeah, I am Montjoy, the French ambassador. And I was just saying before, I discovered that when I got cast, I was cast as the French ambassador. And as the process developed, as I discovered the play, I discovered that actually he was called Montjoy, and that this character Montjoy has many lines as well. So I say, oh, well, that's great.
And then one of the characters that I'm playing is the boy. He doesn't even have a name.
Just
the boy. I'm not playing the girl. It is the boy. And also, as we're talking about, you know, the female, strong female characters that might be male, we also really wanted to make a point of female characters in the play that are traditionally more sort of wallflowers and standing by, like Catherine, for example, who's the French princess, which is one of my other characters. We wanted to approach this modern version of this play where she's a lot more gutsy and standing up for herself and not just letting the people in power decide things for her. She wants to have a say.
That's nice.
Really interesting take on it, then.
Just modernising pretty much every aspect.
And so, Catherine, you're also producing this as well, are you?
Yes, I am.
So you're acting and producing. How's that?
It's great, actually. It's been really nice being a part of it from the beginning. So the director, Andrew, who actually played Hamlet when we did Hamlet, we've been working very closely together to try and make the production work in terms of, well, everything, set, costume. I obviously speak to the theatre a lot and organise that side of it, and I'm also the treasurer. so really making it a company, which is very exciting, because all the companies I've been in before have been established earlier on. So we're trying to make the way we do things very up to date. Elle is our social media guru.
And Elle's also part of Queen's Theatre as well, aren't you? You were telling us before.
Yes, I'm audience development and marketing officer at Queen's Theatre in Hornchurch.
So that comes in
6 months.
That comes in very handy then.
It does. My job is my hobby and my hobby is my job.
Oh, life is art.
Exactly.
What a glorious thing, though, to be able to say that, isn't it? It just feels like a very kind of precious thing to be able to say that you love what you do, and what you do is what you love. It's just such a lovely thing.
It's
We're going to take a little bit of music now, and we'll be back after this. But this one, here we go.
We're trying to
connect with God. So this is really obvious. Could we ever see the ruthless and powerful Lady Macbeth in a different light? Elvis Costello tries his hand at making this happen. His ode to the modern day Miss Macbeth, complete with lyrics including "And every day she lives out another love song," is a tearful lament of somebody done wrong. Well, how can you miss what you've never possessed, Miss Macbeth? In his attempt at humanising one of the most villainous females in literary history, making her perhaps a more likeable character. Let's see what you think.
Interesting.
Children testified that Miss Macbeth had a fishbone slide in her cobweb dresses. Her eyes were black and spurs were cold, clutched as white as chalk dust. Her fingers sweated India ink, empires and pen letters. There is a hungry hanging tree just below your bedroom window. You can face ran red inside, but was she really evil? Was she only pantomime? Now the chalk on the wall says that somebody says that somebody's face has just been washed up.
FM.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut and Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a hallmark care home.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
The team at St Francis Hospice are challenging you to get outdoors and make a difference by taking on the Walk 100 Challenge. Simply walk 100k in March, in your own time and at your own pace, all in aid of your local hospice. Visit the St Francis Hospice Facebook page. You can find all the details you need and sign up for the Walk 100 Challenge.
Phoenix FM.
Yeah.
And that was Supergrass with Richard III. Oxford indie rock band Supergrass had paid homage to Shakespeare's portrayal of a scheming underhand monarch in their second single from their album In It for the Money. There's no reference to Shakespeare's work or indeed Richard III other than in the title, but the band has been quoted as saying the evil reflection of the head of state in the bard's play complements the dark and menacing tone of the song. There you go. How did I do on that one?
I did find it very dark and menacing.
It was quite dark and menacing. And kind of interesting for Supergrass, because they don't do always dark and menacing things, do they? Anyway, have we got some events to throw out?
I'm going to quickly ramble on through some. So as I mentioned earlier, there's a couple of events that I have been helping to plan. So we have the Mayor of London's London Multiplier Roadshow happening on Thursday, which I spoke about at length last week. That's at the Mercury Mall. You can come and learn maths through creative games.
Oh, yes.
Playing games, drawing some big compass drawings, Islamic patterns we're looking at, because that is very geometric.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that on Thursday. But we've also been invited to go to Tobacco Dock on the 2nd of March for the big flagship event, which is very exciting. So you can go there and meet Charlotte Trower, who's going to be creating a light sculpture out of a geodesic dome, which is huge. It's like 3 metres by 1.5 metres high, and we're going to turn that into a light sculpture. So very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that's in association with the Mayor of London. And again, we'll be looking at the maths behind geodesic domes. So that is very much triangle-oriented. And I know that you like triangles, Claire.
I do like triangles.
So we'll be learning how to draw triangles and then making gorgeous tessellating patterns on a geodesic dome. The other event I